Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And it's Friday. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live. My name is Cy Kellett. I'm very happy to be your new host here at Catholic Answers Live, getting ready to close out my first week strong. Because this hour, our topic is, Who Am I to Judge? And our guest, Dr. Edward Sree, has written a very helpful little book with just that exact title. Essentially, it's a book about the beauty of the Catholic moral vision. But in order to be about that, it has to be a book, because these are the times we live in, I guess, about moral relativism. And it's a book about how to talk to young people about these things. And eventually, it's a book about love, because love is the very heart of the Catholic life, and all of this in a very readable and pretty compact form. Dr. Sree is a professor of theology at the Augustine Institute and a founder, along with Curtis Martin, of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, FOCUS. And he's also the Symbolon guy. Symbolon is just a fantastic video series on the Catholic faith produced by the Augustine Institute. Dr. Sree, welcome very much to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome to you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so delighted to be on the show in your first week. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm delighted, and thank you for that welcome. Everyone has been very, very welcoming to me. I'm feeling peachy here on my first Friday at Catholic Answers. And I got to ask you this: which came first, the title of the book or the book? Because the title, I think, a lot of people will associate with Pope Francis and one of his famous kind of air transit interview moments. And was that any part of your inspiration, or how'd that work?
Oh, absolutely. Pope Francis used that expression and used it really well. The media, of course, took it in a direction that he certainly didn't intend. And I've written about that many times. But I think, yeah, that, you know, that question, who am I to judge? I think it gets right to the heart of where people are feeling this angst when it comes to talking about morality today. You know, there are many good Catholics out there, and, you know, they go to church, they believe in God, but they're just scared to talk about truth or to say anything is right or wrong, or they're afraid to talk about marriage because they don't want to be labeled a fundamentalist or labeled intolerant, right, or be perceived by their parents or their family or their friends as a mean, judgmental person. And so many people are just kind of are cowering, that we don't know what to say, we don't know how to say it, and so I just won't say anything, and I'll let everyone just do whatever they want, and then I don't have to stir up conflict. And what we need to do, we really need to understand better, how can we talk about morality in a very compelling, convicting way, but also a compassionate way? You know, that we don't have to compromise our convictions about right or wrong in order to be loving, kind, and compassionate human beings. How can we do that in our relativistic culture today? So what I try to do in the book is really give people practical tools to engage their relativistic friends and family members, to engage them with great love, but also to engage them with the truth, because the truth will set us free and bring us the happiness that God wants for us.
Amen. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. If you would like to talk to Dr. Edward Sree, the author of Who Am I to Judge? Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love. And one of the strange, I suppose, is this a paradox of our time, or it's an oddity of our time, that amidst all this idea of tolerance, 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 people feel exactly how you were saying they feel. They don't feel that they'll be tolerated if they speak up. They feel just the opposite. It seems to be there's a kind of spirit almost of oppression amongst all this tolerance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Ratzinger called the dictatorship of relativism, right? Relativism sounds very neutral and tolerant, but it really is kind of a dictatorship. Don't, you know, I'll tolerate everything except your Catholic views.
Yeah, right.
You know, What I do in the book is I tell a lot of stories in every chapter to make these not just abstract philosophical ideas, but really concrete situations that we all face and can relate to. And one of the opening stories I tell in the book is about a young college student who came from a good Catholic home, went away to college at a big state university, and was practicing her faith that first semester at college. She was going to Mass on Sunday at the Newman Center. But then one day, she was in a political science class, and there was a question, a survey about religious beliefs and politics. And after class, one of her friends asked her, hey, what did you say about gay marriage? And she said, oh, well, I said I was against it. And he goes on to say, oh, well, I said I was for it. You know, it seemed a little awkward for a moment, but he didn't seem to mind at first. He just said, oh, well, to each his own. I'll see you at the party tonight. And it seemed all to be, you know, very peaceful between the two friends until she showed up at the party that night. When she showed up, he sees her and he gets up on a chair and starts yelling and starts saying, guess what she said about gay marriage? She said she's against it. Can you believe that? And all of these college students started going up to her and saying, how can you say gay marriage is wrong? Why, who are you to tell other people what marriage is? Why are you imposing your views on others? Who are you to judge? And just kept bombarding her with all these questions. And she didn't know how to respond. And as she was trying to give an explanation, she felt like she was just digging herself in more of a hole. And she felt just beat up by the evening. And you know what happened to her? As I end the story in the book, I explain how she walked out of that party changed. She walked out changed because she realized that night that if you're going to stand up for your Catholic faith, it costs a lot. You're going to suffer sometimes. And she didn't want to suffer. She wanted to fit in. She wanted to be accepted. She wanted her friends to like her. You know, who wants to be a mean, judgmental person? You know, that's how her friends were viewing her. So she started to make a little change in her heart. She started to still talk about her moral beliefs, but with two little new words she would always add on. So she would still say things like, oh, I'm against abortion for me.
Ah, yeah.
Or she'd say, for me, marriage is between a man and a woman. You know, but if somebody else thinks marriage is something else, that's fine for them. Or someone else wants to have an abortion, that's fine for them. It was a little, just two little words for me, but it makes a huge difference, Si, because what happens there is she's doing that so she can kind of still hold on to some moral values from her upbringing. But she doesn't have to stand up for it anymore because she can just fit in with everyone else. But when we do that, what we're doing is we're denying that there is any real moral guidance, moral truth, moral law out there. When we say just for me, we're taking big issues like abortion and marriage and making them kind of like, what's my favorite ice cream, you know, flavor,
exactly.
You know, for me,
yep.
You know, chocolate's better than vanilla, or for me, the Dodgers are better than the Padres, you know, or for me, whatever, you know, it becomes like your favorite sports team, your favorite flavor of ice cream. And if I reduce big moral issues in my life to that, then guess what? When I'm faced with my own temptation, I could start to just change because I can change my flavor of ice cream, right? I can change my favorite sports team and the music I listen to, and I can change my sexual practices. I can change the way I treat the environment. I can change the way I treat the poor. I can do whatever I want. And that's what started happening to this poor gal who was a devout Catholic going away to college. By the end of her freshman year, she no longer had a moral compass to guide her. And when she faced temptation, she started doing things she never imagined doing before. And by the end of her freshman year, she stopped practicing her Catholic faith and became a relativist. That's the culture. We're living it. It is an oppressive culture that is really making it really hard for people to remain faithful to moral truth.
And you make the point in the book. I'll just give out the number if you want to talk with Dr. Edward Shree. 888-318-7884 is our number here at Catholic Answers Live. But you make the point in the book at one point. I think it's in the third section where you do the seven kind of assists. Is that what I'm missing the word? But for
seven keys,
yeah.
Responding, yeah.
So, but I think that's where I read it. The part where you say, but you can't respond to this moral relativism just by telling people the rules. That there, it has to come in the context of the whole teaching of God's love for them.
Yeah, I think that's a big point. Is that many times when we're debating with our friends, we're just talking about like one particular issue. You know, you're at Thanksgiving dinner and Aunt Sally brings up some moral political issue in the culture today, some hot button thing. And you could be trying to talk about just that one issue, but this may be a woman who doesn't really believe in God or doesn't believe that God reveals himself to us or doesn't understand what love is all about. A lot of fundamental pieces go into the picture to arrive to certain conclusions that premarital sex is wrong or contraception will hurt your marriage, things like that. And if they don't understand the more fundamental points about who is God, his plan of salvation, what love is, it's going to be really hard for them to grasp some of these more complicated moral issues that the church teaches. So that's what I do in the book. In the heart of the book, the middle section, I really walk through what I call a Catholic moral worldview. Like here's just the fundamental things that we need to think about. What is life really all about? How do we find happiness? What is friendship? What is virtue? How does virtue allow us to find happiness in our friendships and our relationships? What is real freedom? You know, if we don't understand those basic things, then when we're talking with our relativistic friends, they're just going to say, oh, you're just imposing your views on me. So we got to go back to some of the basics, and that's what I do in the middle section of the book.
888-31-TRUTH is the number. This weekend, listeners can get a copy of Dr. Sri's book, Who Am I to Judge, at shop.catholic.com and save $3 off the normal price. And it's a great deal. It's a great, I must say, it's especially, I think, if you have a young person who's facing just that pressure that Dr. Sri was talking about, it is a magnificent kind of response to that. 888-318-7884 is the number. This is Catholic Answers Live. When we come back, some of your questions for Dr. Sri.
We're here for you. Give us a call today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a very special offer for all of you who are interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as possible involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, available for just $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. I wrote this book specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue with the goal of persuading others, to help you to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, for just $5, call 1-888-291-8000 or go to the shop at catholic.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Mark 3:13, Jesus went up the mountain and appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, that they might be with him and he might send them forth to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. They were to be duly accredited witnesses who would proclaim the message of salvation after the Lord's death. Therefore, the solemnity attached to their calling. Luke mentions that Jesus spent the whole night in prayer before. Mark stresses that the choices came directly from Jesus. 12 is the number of the tribes of Israel. They were to be rulers of the new spiritual Israel, the church, which Jesus was about to establish. Significantly, while the names vary in order in the various lists of the apostles given, Judas the betrayer is always the last, and Peter the rock is always the first. For those with eyes to see, the apostolicity of the Catholic Church resides so clearly in Scripture. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
And Cy Kellett, very happy to be your host. January is Sanctity of Life Month, with marches for life happening around the nation this weekend and next weekend. So I just want to let you know that if you're in the San Diego area tomorrow, Saturday, join Catholic Answers down at the San Diego Walk for Life from 8:30 a.m. till noon. You can get lots of information on that just by going to sandiegowalkforlife.org. And here is a really cool thing, because it might be a little rainy, so I know they want to get people out. If you go by the Catholic Answers booth, you can get a free copy of Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, one of the best pro-life books you can get. So that is available to you for free if you make it down there. I'll be up in Los Angeles tomorrow, and so come by and say hi if you'd like at the One Life LA festivities. Looking forward to seeing lots and lots of folks there. But also, for the month of January, Catholic Answers is making that Trent Horn's very book, Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, available for only $5 online. That's a savings of over 70%. There's no better resource available to equip yourself to answer questions put to you from those who support abortion. You can get it by visiting Catholic.com or calling 888-291-8000. Our guest this hour, Dr. Edward Sree, who presents a convincing and very helpful case for the beauty and practicality of the Catholic moral vision in his book, Who Am I to Judge? We go to Joanne now in Dayton, Ohio. Joanne, what is your question or comment for Dr. Edward Sree?
Hi. I have a friend at work. I'm 50. She's about 10 years older than me. We are both cradle Catholics. We talk a lot about the faith. She told me just yesterday that she's seriously considering changing her faith because she just went to a beautiful wedding of a friend, a dear male friend who married his male lover, and that she just doesn't understand what the scoop is, why we can't embrace that. She has a little granddaughter, a beautiful little girl, who last year, she's seven, decided she was going to be a boy, and now they call the little girl by a boy's name, has her hair cut, looks like a boy. I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say.
Tell me, how close a relationship do you have with her?
Very close. I told her I'd pray for her, and that's all I could say.
Okay, so have you been able to have, like, free, open conversations about topics in the past, or is it like you're afraid to bring it up, or have you tried to talk about it before?
No, we can talk about it, because there's three of us, and we're all Catholic, and I'm kind of the strong Catholic. I have my crucifix and my little cube and my picture of Mary, and so it's a good relationship, and I can talk to her. I know I can. She needs to hear what the church says about this so she doesn't leave.
Yeah, okay. A couple of things. She's practicing, though. She's practicing her Catholic faith. That's good, right? She's going to Mass on Sunday. Is that right?
You know, she was. I'm not sure if she is anymore with the whole thing about the little grandchild.
Okay.
But she has up until maybe the last month's here.
See, the key is a lot of these things aren't going to make sense to her easily unless she has a relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that you can't make arguments and present the Catholic teachings on homosexuality without divine revelation. There's arguments you can make, but they're a lot harder to make. That's why I'm asking. It sounds like she has some Catholic connection. I would be doing all I could to fuel that relationship with God, you know, and at church, you know, inviting her to come to Mass with you, inviting her, can we stop by the Adoration Chapel, something where she's being connected. Because if she doesn't have that relationship, she's really encountering Jesus, then this is going to seem like just some abstract rule way out there. Where's the church coming from? We still have to give answers to it, but those answers will be much more, they'll bear much more fruit if she's growing her relationship with God. So I know you're thinking about this one particular issue, and you're going to need to address it. You'll need to get on good websites. Like, you can go to Catholic.com, and they have, I know they have the resources on this. You can go to Courage, the great apostle at dealing with people who are struggling with SSA. There's a lot of great resources out there on the internet on the particular issue, but don't forget the relationship with Christ and the larger picture of her faith life. That being said, I'll just share with you one little insight. I just came back from Phoenix last week, where I was speaking at the Courage Conference. If you may be familiar, it's an apostolate that serves for many decades people who struggle with same-sex attraction. And I, through this apostolate over the years, I have met many people who were struggling with SSA, still struggle with SSA, and they've told me they converted to the Catholic Church precisely because of the Church's teaching on homosexuality. And I'll tell you, one fellow I was just talking to this last week, he was sharing with me about how, the lifestyle that is offered, in homosexual lifestyle, when people in the culture just say, hey, you're just born this way, or just live this way, just do it, he said, people who live this life, like, we're not happy. It's not bringing real lasting fulfillment. And then on the other hand, there were fundamental Christians that were saying we're just messed up and they were just judging us. It was the Catholic Church that did two things. The Catholic Church loved me enough to tell me the truth. They loved me enough to tell me the truth that I was made for something greater. And I knew that inside, but I needed something outside of me to remind me of God and Jesus and what he was calling me to. And I'm so thankful for the Catholic Church teaching the truth. But the church also taught it with great compassion and mercy and patience and knowing that we make mistakes, knowing we can be forgiven, knowing we may stumble again. And it was that balance of truth and grace that really brought me, you know, to want to become a Catholic. And I've met many others who struggle with SSA who have actually said that. And your friend may not be aware of that, but people who have lived that lifestyle, they've been in the midst of it, and they hear what the Church really teaches about this, they're coming and becoming Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will definitely look into that site. Just pray for us.
Will do.
Because at this point, I know that's what I can do. I will not say that's all I can do, because that's everything. But pray for us.
Thank you so much, Joanne. And Dr. Sri, the subtitle is Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love. And the real strong sense of the whole thing is that the Catholic moral vision is a vision for the fullness of human life. And that vision, you just can't logic your way to it. You have to know about the love of God in Christ in order to fully get there.
Yeah, that's one thing I hammer over and over again. I even have a whole chapter called Law Equals Love, because whatever moral issue we're talking about, whether it's this one here with homosexual acts, or it's, you know, serving the poor, whether it's protecting human life, whatever moral issue we're talking about, everything the Catholic Church teaches comes down to love. It's all about love. And we tend to get all sidetracked on this little side arguments over here, and we forget that. And I make a point that whenever we're in a conversation with our friend or family, always bring it back to love right away. I'll share a story. I think I showed this in the book too, where I was flying back from the East Coast this last year, and there's a man on the plane who had seen the symbol on Ceres. He was so excited to meet me. He wasn't Catholic, wanted to ask some questions. He tapped me on the shoulder when the plane got up in the air, and then his big question I thought was going to be about Mary or the Bible or papacy, and I go, this will be really easy. He asked me this. He says, so when's the Catholic Church going to update all its teachings on sexuality?
Oh, man. How long is this flight?
Everyone all around all of a sudden is looking up and now listening to me.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's kind of crazy. But he kept going on. It says, you know that we don't need to be imposing our views on other people. People should be able to express their sexuality however they want. Why can't we get with the modern times like all the other Christian denominations? Why the Catholic Church, you know, who are they to judge? All these kinds of things that we always hear. And I finally cut him off, and I said, do you know why the Church teaches what it teaches about sexuality and why it's always going to teach what it teaches about sexuality? It's because the Catholic Church loves people. And I think that's the kind of move we have to make before we get to the arguments. We have to frame it. It's all about love.
Yeah.
And I went on. I shared with them. I go, I work with college students and young adults. They're familiar with all your ideas of the sexual revolution because that's the culture. You're not presenting anything new to them. But you know what they tell me? Those ideas, it's not working for them. The hookup culture is not working for them. These open-ended relationships, not working for them. They experience so much pain, insecurity, fear. Do you wish more pain on the younger generation? If we love them, we have to present them the true way to happiness. And that's what every moral teaching is about. It's about how we can experience love, share love, and find the happiness that God has in store for us if we live according to his plan.
Amen. Victoria in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio, 89.7 FM. What's your question for Dr. Edward Sri?
Oh, hi. I first wanted to say hello to Dr. Sri. I actually saw him first at the SEEK 2017 conference, and I had attended his talk, and I was so excited. And so when I went to work, I shared it with like my supervisor. And she asked me, so what is relativism? And I told her, well, it's the belief that there is no absolute truth, that we kind of validate it for ourselves. And she's like, yes, that's correct. And like, and don't you believe that's true? And I was just like, well, no, I don't. But like, she kind of persisted in kind of like telling me that isn't our truth based on like the experiences we encounter, like ourselves, and things like that. And like, since I've been listening, I've wondered, I remember that we have to tie things into love, but what if, like, I feel like we don't all see love in the same way. So how do we express that? Like, I'm just so kind of clueless.
It sounds like you're looking for Victoria. Am I right to say you're looking for an answer to the person who says, "Well, wait, that is how it works. That we do all, truth really is up to each one of us to figure out and name for ourselves." And so you want an answer. How do you respond to that? Is that about right, Victoria?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, we hear the music, so that means we'll take a little break. We will come right back, and we will see if Dr. Edward Sree can address that question for you, Victoria. This is Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back.
This is Archbishop J. Michael Miller of Vancouver, Canada, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a very special offer for all of you who are interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as possible involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, available for just $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. I wrote this book specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue with the goal of persuading others, to help you to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, for just $5, call 1-888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about the new Catholic Answers Live Radio Club newsletter, a weekly newsletter we're putting together with exclusive interviews, show highlights, behind-the-scenes access, free downloads, special offers, and so much more. And right now, if you sign up, we're going to email you a free MP3 of my talk, Evangelization, What It Is and Why You Need It. Just text the word CA Live to 44222 and follow the directions, and you'll get your free MP3 right away. That's right. Just text the word CA Live, that's CALIVE, to 44222 and follow the directions, and we'll send you a free MP3 when you sign up. It's a great deal, brought to you from your friends here at Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. My name is Cy Kellett, your very happy host. Getting to be your host here at Catholic Answers is one of the great things for me. Our topic this hour, who am I to judge in the contemporary contest of moral visions in the world? When we left, Victoria in San Antonio, Texas, was asking, how do you respond to someone who says, well, that is basically how it works. Everyone has their own truth. Why would you claim that there's anything else in that? Dr. Sree, how do we respond to someone who kind of shrugs and says, well, of course, there is no absolute truth?
You know, I was going to say, Victoria, you should just go back to your boss and just say, well, you know, for me, I think I deserve a raise and see what she says. And for me, I think I should be telling you what to do. She doesn't really believe that there's no truth, right? Now, she may come back and say, well, you know, when it comes to religious truth or moral truth, you know, those are different things, you know. But here's the thing. We are in such a crisis in our culture today. Have you all seen the video that's out there, YouTube video? You can go search for it. College students say the darndest things. Have you all seen this?
Oh, I have not seen it. No.
Oh, yeah. You got to take a look at this one. So I think he's like a young man, Caucasian, probably 5 foot, you know, short, 5 foot something, who goes around college campuses and he asks people, college students, so, hey, I'm a woman. I think I'm a woman. What do you think about that? And they all go, oh, well, if you want to be a woman, you could be a woman. And then he goes on, he says, okay, well, I'm an Asian woman. I mean, he's just like white guy. I'm an Asian woman. Okay. And they're like, oh, yeah. And he says, and I'm a 6'4" Asian woman. And everyone, oh, well, if that's what you think, okay. And he says, I'm a 6'4" Asian woman, and I'm 7 years old, and I want to sit in second grade right now because I deserve to be there. And then you see some people getting nervous. I think this is getting too far. But there's still others that will go along with it. Because that's what's happening here, is we've lost so – we're so far from just reality. What we need to see is this. God gave us the world, the universe. He gave us, he created us a certain way. Reality is something given to us as a gift by God. And he gave us a mind, an intellect, so we can use our reason and be able to discern reality. I see that there is a car passing in front of me. I'm going to slow down. I see my baby's about to go into the street. I'm going to go get her. I can just use my mind, right? And I can know reality. But we're living in an age where people are being trained to doubt the most basic things of reality, you know. But even when it comes to things like God or the moral life, you know, that people would say, well, yeah, okay, I get the, you know, if it's a red light, you should stop. But you know, when it comes to morality, everyone just decides for themselves. When it comes to who God is or what, you know, what is true, you know, in the spiritual life, you know, that's all relative. And I would just come back, actually, I have a chapter at the end of the book where I deal with all these kinds of, you know, bigger reality questions, where I say, you know, God is ultimate reality, and he gave us the world and the universe and all of us as a gift. And our minds don't make God. Our minds don't make reality. Our minds are meant to conform to it. In other words, God isn't like ice cream. You know, you like strawberry, you like sherbet, what, you know, and everyone has their own personal taste. Does God correspond to my personal taste? So if I sit back and say, well, I don't think God minds if people have abortions. I just don't think God minds that. Does that be just because I have that opinion, does that make God all of a sudden conform to my idea about him? And, oh, he really doesn't mind now because Ted 3 doesn't think it's a big deal. I mean, am I bigger than God? No, no, no. God is ultimate reality. I have to conform to who he is and what he is telling me about my life. I don't make him up, and I don't make up the moral life on my own. A story I like to tell is a true story. When I was teaching undergrads years ago, I would This issue would often come up, and I remember one football player was in my class, and you know he was saying something like, "Yeah, I make up my own reality. It's my own experience." And I go, "Really? You just make up? Yeah. So this table, you know, is this a table?" He goes, "Well, you know, for you it is." And I go, "So for you, you want to make it a chair?" He goes, "Yeah. For me, I could make it a chair. It'd be a chair for me." I said, "You really believe this? Come on." He said, "Yeah. We make up our own reality." Okay, well, come up here, stand up in front of class. And I have him stand next to this brick wall we have in class. I said, "So what is this?" He goes, it's a wall. I go, "It's a brick wall." He goes, "Yeah, but if you wanted to, could you make it a feather pillow?" And he said, "Oh, sure. For me, I can make it a feather pillow." "Really? You think for you can make that a feather pillow?" "Yeah, I can make up my own reality. For me, that's a feather pillow." And I said, "Great. Now start banging your head against that feather pillow for me."
Yeah.
and everyone just laughed in the class. He even chuckled. He admitted, "Okay, I think there's something." But sometimes you have to do these ridiculous things to get people to admit that, no, we don't make up our own reality. We don't make up who we are. No, it is something that's given. God gave us a mind. He wants us to conform to it. So, Victoria, that's a long, I gave you a couple little things here, but I'd encourage you to maybe look at the last chapter in my book where I've got those Q&As about these kinds of questions, how we can come to know moral truth. That might help you if you got the book already.
Okay, Victoria.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you can go to shopcatholic.com and get it for $3 off all this weekend. If you like, Tom in North Boston, you are on Catholic Answers Live with Dr. Edward Sree. What is your question for Dr. Sree?
I'd like to know what the doctor feels about more about this relativism permeating our schools and our workplaces, and if he has suggestions on how we can stand against it.
Is it, you're saying like Catholic schools, or do you mean just schools in general?
Well, there is one Catholic school I know of where, and I have not heard this from the teacher, but one of the students complained to me that the teacher said, if you don't have a womb, you don't get to vote on abortion.
Whoa.
Okay. Well, and, yep. Okay.
You know, and I hear things so. Like this all over the place.
Yeah. Okay, relativism's everywhere, and it has, sadly, it's permeated even many good Catholic institutions or organizations. It's just, it's in the air we're breathing. It's where how people are being trained to think. How do we respond to this? How do we show people that there's real truth? I think asking questions is a great way to engage people. You know, one thing, I have this little dialogue in the book, you know, it's like one of the keys, you know, because Pope Benedict says we need to push back on relativism. I remember him saying, basically, you know, relativism is like the new dogma and everyone's being forced to believe it. And he says, quote, I think it's time we resist this imposition. And how do we do that? gently but firmly as well. You know, I play out the scenario. Imagine you're talking about some moral issue, hot button issue in the culture, and your friend or relative says to you, "Oh, hey, don't be so judgmental." Do you ever have that? You know, someone say that to you, "Don't be so intolerant." You don't know what to do. You know, do I, you know, argue really more and raise my volume, thinking if I raise volume, that's going to make a difference? Or many people, we just cower. We won't say anything because we're just scared. I think we just gently push back. We come back and say, if someone says to you next time, "Hey, don't be so intolerant," just come right back at them and say, "Excuse me, are you judging me?" I love that move because, first of all, the relativist isn't used to a Christian playing the don't judge card, but it's going to get them. You're actually going to get the person to start thinking a little bit more, using their brain a little bit more, and doing it in less of a confrontational way. This is how it would play out. You know, your friend says, you know, don't be so judgmental, and come back and say, "Excuse me, are you judging me?" And they would say, "Oh no, I'm not judging." And you just come back and say, "Well, I'm feeling judged. I feel like you think I'm a judgmental person. I feel you think I'm an intolerant person. Is that what you think?" Just throw that out there. And they're going to stumble a little bit, and they'll probably end up saying, "Well, you know, but you just said this is wrong, and you think that everyone should live like this." And say, "Well, wait, hold on here, my friend. It sounds like you don't believe in moral truth. You believe that everyone makes up their own morality. And God gave you free will, and if you want to believe that, I guess, you know, you have free will to do that. I disagree. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, relativism doesn't seem pretty logical to me, but, you know, you're free, and I'll disagree with you, but I can still respect you. We can still be friends and disagree. But my friend, let me tell you this, though. You may have this personal faith in relativism, personal faith that there's no moral structure to the universe, but please, whatever you do, my dear friend, do not impose your faith in relativism on me." Now, I'm saying it with a little extra bravo here, but you could say it kindly and with a smile and all that. But I think that's the way to kind of push back a little bit, because that's what they're doing. They're imposing their belief system, which is their belief system is that there is no truth. And they've not convinced me that there is no moral truth. Convince me of that. Convince me that everyone should make up their moral morality, because that doesn't make sense to me. Do you really think that, you know, there's no moral truth out there? Like, so is kidnapping okay? Is rape okay? Is genocide okay? Was 9/11 okay? Are you really willing to say those things? You know, let them have to defend their relativism, because not only have they not convinced me of it, they haven't really even convinced themselves of it. They've not thought about it. They just assumed it. Most people, they've not really thought it out. And if you start asking questions quickly, it's just funny to watch people. You can tell as they start talking in circles, and they feel a little uncomfortable. And that's good, because they're realizing, yeah, I'm not sure I want to be a hardcore relativist. Doesn't mean you're going to win every moral argument. They still may be very pro-abortion at the end of this. But at least you're starting to get them to recognize there are some things that are right and wrong for everybody. And that's a good first step to go after the relativist culture.
Because underneath all that relativism, there isn't a very solid intellectual set of supports. There's not a way in which people are saying, you know, I was raised this way, but I really thought my way through it, and there's no such thing as truth. That it's much more the case of just people are carrying around maybe an assumption, or maybe things that, like the young woman that you opened the book with, her story, a sense of having been intimidated out of the really common sense understanding that, yes, some things are right and some things are wrong.
Yep. And you know, another thing that is really driving this relativist culture many times, it's also, if I have my own little moral missteps, my own little sins, you know, let's say I'm sleeping with my girlfriend. You know, when I hear about moral relativism, the idea everyone decides for themselves what's right or wrong, but I'm like, oh, yeah, so people can define marriage however they want. They could promote abortion if they want. It's everyone's choice. I'm supporting all those things, not because I really want to support those things in themselves. I just want to support relativism, because then I could do whatever I want. I could keep sleeping with my girlfriend. Now, I'm not saying everybody does that, but I have a whole chapter in the book that oftentimes underneath these big intellectual arguments about relativism, there's a sin problem. That's what Pope Benedict basically said when he said the real dictator in the dictatorship of relativism is one's own ego, one's own selfish desires. I just want to do what I want. Don't tell me what to do. Relativism is a very convenient philosophy for life to justify the way I just want to live.
So it's really a temptation more than it is a well-reasoned philosophy.
Yeah, and we have to realize that with our friends. So yes, we'll argue. Yes, we'll talk to them about it, but let's also pray for them. Let's fast for them. Let's show them a lot of love.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot more going on than just that one little issue in their head.
888-318-7884 is the number. Dr. Edward Sree is our guest this hour. The topic, who am I to judge? I'm Cy Kellett. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. This is country music artist Colin Ray. Do what I do and keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers' annual campaign is almost over. We've raised much of what we need to enter the coming year in a strong position, but we still need to raise more. This is Catholic Answers' most important fundraiser of the year, and there's still time for you to help. Your response to the campaign will determine how much apostolic work Catholic Answers can do in the next year. To make your donation, just go to Catholic.com and click the annual campaign banner or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the annual campaign banner at Catholic.com or call toll-free at 888-291-8000.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a very special offer for all of you who are interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as possible involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, available for just $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. I wrote this book specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue with the goal of persuading others, to help you to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, for just $5, call 1-888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
That is the truth. This is Catholic Answers Live. And since there is such a thing as objective truth, we can say that with confidence. This is Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour, Dr. Edward Sree, who has a wonderful new book out, Who Am I to Judge? Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love. And Dr. Sree, if people want to get in touch with you or know more about you, where can they go?
Yeah, they can go to my website, just my name, Edward Sree, S-R-I, so edwardsree.com. I've got an excerpt of the new book right on my homepage, on my video page. There's a video of talks I've given on this topic if they want to learn more and share this with other people. So they can go to edwardsree.com. They can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Edward_Sree, S-R-I is the last name.
All right. And so the bits of the book that are on there now, are these just like the parts where the relativists make their argument and then you don't get the response, or do you get any of the response there?
No, I just share a little, like one little part of the book. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You get some good answers.
All right.
It's not Catholic questions. It's Catholic answers.
There we go. Right. Leonardo in Cedar Hill, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. What's your question for Dr. Edward Sree?
Good afternoon, Dr. Sree. My question today is concerning balancing winning the argument versus winning the soul. And I consider myself very good at winning the argument, but I'm still learning on how to determine when I need to stop talking and just balance winning the soul other than just winning the argument.
Yeah, I have a whole chapter in the latter part of the book about these kinds of things, like how do we, you know, when we're talking with our friend, particularly friends, co-workers, family members, that we're really playing for the long haul. You don't want to just, you can win an argument. You ever done that? Win an argument with your wife, and then it's not good for your marriage usually, because you might have been rough with her, you know. And that's how we can be with her when we're talking about things we're passionate about, you know. And so we want to really realize God has put these people in our life for a reason. We're called to witness to them, but we don't have to win it over coffee on one day, or we don't have to win it, you know, while we're, you know, on the copy machine at the workplace. Think about his long-term relationship. And with that, then, you need to show a lot of love. We all need to do this, right? We all need to really, as Pope Francis or JP2 would say, accompany these people. And that means we're not going to just always talk about moral issues. We're going to talk about how's their family doing? How's their job going? How's your girlfriend? Or, you know, whatever they're going through. How's your favorite sports team? We're loving them no matter what they believe and no matter what they practice in their moral life. We're still going to love them and accompany them in life. You know, Pope Francis has written a lot about this, especially this last year of mercy, of really investing ourselves. That, you know, St. Paul, he once said in Thessalonians that he gave not only the gospel to the Thessalonians, but he gave of his very self. So we need to, some of us can be really good at preaching the gospel, but we're not as good at giving ourselves to people. And what they're going to do is encounter Jesus, not just in our words and nice arguments. They're going to encounter him through our love for them. Were we generous, kind, merciful, serving, really taking a sincere interest in them as a person. And I think those things go a lot longer way than any argument oftentimes is when people see our joy and our authentic love for them.
And that comes through very strongly, Dr. Sri, in the book, Who Am I to Judge? I highly recommend it to you, Leonardo. We go to Wayne in northern Maine. That sounds like a redundancy almost, northern Maine, listening on the Presence, 1390 AM. Wayne, you are on with Dr. Edward Sri.
How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Basically, I'm a convert to the Catholic Church, and I've been a Knight of Columbus for 23 years, and I have, you know, said to people that I don't believe in homosexuality, that I don't, you know, all these things like they say, well, I don't feel like a man, which I don't know how you could do that, but because I don't understand. But how do you defend against that?
Go ahead, Dr. Sri.
Well, I was just going to say a couple things to defend against it as one thing on the bigger sphere, you know, and there's a lot of good organizations that are doing good things in the public sphere about this. But I don't get a sense you're like a pundit or a politician or, the political think tank organization. In our own daily lives, I think it's actually more thinking about the people that are struggling with this. You mentioned that, you know, I don't understand how people can feel that way. And I appreciate that for you in particular, Wayne, and many other people, and I've never struggled with this, and others I know have struggled with it, but I can also tell you I have dear friends who are really suffering, and they want to follow the Church's teachings, and they're making great sacrifices to do so, but it also comes with a lot of pain and heartache for them. You know, we live in a culture of great woundedness, you know, and, you know, what are the origins of same-sex attraction? I'm doing a lot of reading on it just because I'm meeting more and more people about this, but so I don't claim to be an expert, but, you know, certainly what's very clear is, you know, we live in a culture that's very broken, a culture of broken homes. A lot of people are suffering physical, sexual abuse. And I'm not going to be a scientist and say, you know, how that this affects every single case, but it certainly affects a large number of them. And they need to be looked at with great love. And have our compassion. So I think, you know, in terms of defending against it, you know, first of all, we're called to love all these people. And that's why I love Courage, for example, is such a great organization of really, really going and serving those folks. At the other end of the spectrum, it would be good for us to do more reading on this topic. So I think, you know, a certain generation we've been raised up going, oh, well, that's just this little side issue over here. It's becoming more and more of a mainstream issue as the culture is grabbing the hearts of these young people who go on YouTube and they search, you know, what gender am I? And they, you know, they go on Facebook and they search, you know, there's, you know, 63, I think, choices of the kinds of gender they can choose. And these young people are just confused. And you go on YouTube and you look at this, I mean, you see the people that are teaching our junior high and high school kids and college kids about gender identity. They're not learning it from Pope Francis. They're not learning it from the Catechism or the Gospel, according to Matthew. They're learning from people that have a whole different agenda, a view of life. We need to be better at studying this, and so we can help this next generation navigate a culture that's steering them in these very sad ways.
And it seems like there's a wider question in there. I actually wonder about how you would respond to this yourself, Dr. Sri, about how do we as Christians respond to this, the fact of the damage of the sexual revolution? And it seems that the culture's response is to double down, always double down. We just need to go a little further, and then it's going to make everybody happy, just a bit farther with this. And there must be a Christian-loving critique of the critique, I guess, a Christian-loving way to say, stop chasing this kind of, you know, ephemeral thing that at some point, if we keep following this sexual revolution path, it's going to make people happy. It's not making people happy.
Yeah. I mean, I get it all firsthand because I'm talking. I get that, you know, blessed in my work with Focus and working with a lot of young adults. I get to talk to people that have been, they've been way out there in the sexual revolution, whether they're heterosexual, homosexual, whatever. But, you know, when I kind of, when they're, you know, I get them in a smaller group setting, like after a talk, you know, and they're honest with me, that they share, you know, the great, you know, emptiness they have, the loneliness, the fears they have, but, you know, having been wounded in relationships, feeling used in relationships, doubting that they're lovable. I mean, they really are suffering. And I think this is where, you know, when Pope Francis talks about the church is a field hospital. I love that image,
yeah.
You know, because that's what's happening. We are in, when we turn away from Jesus Christ, the gospel, the Catholic Church, this is what you're left with. And all these people's lives are just being deeply wounded. In fact, one of my chapters in the book is a quote from Pope Francis. Relativism wounds people.
Yep.
When we tell people that there's no path to life, you just make it up on your own, everyone could do whatever they want, it leaves them really, really hurt. But given that, our response, we've got to realize that if the church is the field hospital, we got to go out to them and help them and, you know, serve them and be patient with them. You know, we can't just go to them with, here's the truth, what you're doing is wrong. You know, if someone's on the battlefield and they just got shot in the chest, you don't say, hey, how's your blood cholesterol level?
Yeah, right.
You know, you got to deal with the urgent matters first. And I think that's what Pope Francis and JP2 and Pope Benedict before him were emphasizing. You have to preach the heart of the gospel first. And the heart of the gospel isn't contraception's wrong, abortion's wrong, gay marriage is wrong. Those are essential things we all have to hold to as Catholics. But the heart of the gospel is the message of Jesus' love, his salvation. He died for us, and he gave us grace to help us to do what we can never do on our own. That, yes, you're called to be chaste, and maybe you've never been chaste your whole life, but guess what? God can work the impossible through you through the miracle that he does through his grace, and that's available to you.
And millions will testify to it, to the truth of that. Don, in Trenton, New Jersey, listening on 1260 AM, you are on with Dr. Edward Sree. What's your question?
Yes, gentlemen, good evening, and thank you for taking my call. Doctor, I applaud you for this show today and for your book, and obviously this is a great problem in the Catholic Church. I'm a traditional Catholic, and you know, as far as relativism goes, I mean, I'd like to challenge you respectfully, sir, and to say that since the Second Vatican Council, we've had nothing coming from Rome other than relativism. And I can cite example after example.
Well, let's let Dr. Sree give that an answer. Only because we don't have infinite time here, Don. Let's let Dr. Sree take a crack at that.
Okay, well, hold on. You just read what Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, JP2 have said. For example, they've all mentioned relativism as one of the serious, most difficult, challenging problems in the church in the world today. So that's definitely there. You may be thinking, you know, well, Pope Francis one time he said, who am I to judge? You know, and you're maybe wondering, you mentioned that on an airplane. What is he really talking about there? You know, and I want to be very clear. What he was talking about was we can never judge someone's soul, their spiritual situation before God. I mean, this is just basic Catholic, you know, Catholic catechism here. You know, I can't say, you know, this is where this person's situation is before God. That's between them and God alone. I don't know their background. I don't know what's going on in their life. I don't know their intentions. I can judge actions. I could say this act is wrong and no one should ever do this act. You know, absolutely. We should do that. But, you know, great saints like Saint Therese of Lisieux, you know, she would talk about the sisters in her convent and, you know, and there were some sisters that were really rough, had a caustic personality, and, you know, people would be frustrated with these other sisters in the convent. And she would say, oh, but you're only seeing this one part of her. If you only understood what she's going through, if you understood, like, how hurt she is, the wounds that she carries, she's more heroic than the rest of us.
Well,
you know, we don't always see the whole picture. We can't judge souls.
Right.
We can always judge moral actions.
And we will have to leave it there. Dr. Edward Sree, his book, Who Am I to Judge, on Catholic.com right now for $3 off all weekend. Dr. Edward Sree, thank you so much for being with us for a fantastic hour.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless.
Catholic Answers Live. Next up, Carlo Broussard.